Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this episode of Let's Chat. I'm Carlette Norwood, so glad to be here with you this evening. I have an extra special guest tonight. He is Sean Stevenson.
Glad to be here with
and,
you this
evening. I have an extra special guest tonight.
Hold
he
on.
Is Sean Stevenson. There we go. You know, I stumbled across Sean on the internet, like, you know, most of us find somebody on Facebook or Twitter, and he was such a powerful force. I started following his blog, and he has so much information and so much timely topics that I had to have him on the show. This show is pre-recorded, however, you won't be able to call in and ask Sean questions. But I think I've got such a good grip on and what I need to know that I think that I'll cover probably all the questions that you have. So without further ado, let me bring Sean in and say good evening. Hey, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing super great. First of all, thank you so much for being here. I really wanted to reach out to you because I actually stole you from another podcast. I heard your show with them. I'm not even going to mention the name that I did, but I saw you on somebody else's show and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get them on my show too. So I'm glad we were able to work out our schedules so you could join me. You have a very, very diverse and eclectic background. I know you're a model and, you know, you're such an inspirational person. I signed up for your newsletter and I get your posts through my email. And wow, some of the things that I have them saved in a folder in my email because I've actually gone back to them sometimes. And you have a story yourself. So I'm going to just hand the mic over to you and, you know, give us a little backstory before we talk about, you know, some of the more timely things.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll share the condensed version because, you know, all of us have a story. And
right.
Mine is definitely pretty interesting. So for me, basically, when I was in college, 20 years old, and so this is about 15, 16 years ago for me, I was diagnosed with something called degenerative spinal disease. So basically, my spine was deteriorating as if, you know, it's something that happens when we're much, much older. And my physician at the time told me that I had the spine of an 80-year-old. And this is a 20-year-old young guy, whole world in front of him. And when your spine starts to break down, basically your body starts to break down because I started having difficulty walking because every single communication from your brain to your heart, to your digestive system, to your muscular function, all of that is running through your spine. And so I started to have a tremendous amount of pain, difficulty getting around. And the snapshot of that situation with that physician, he told me in that office visit, and I asked him, does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? Should I change the way that I'm exercising? I don't know why I asked that question, but something just kind of jumped into my body. Like something spoke through me to ask that question because I didn't really know it mattered. I was eating like Papa John's for breakfast.
You know,
I was eating a college diet. And so he looked at me like I was crazy. Like he looked at me like, you know, put his head to the side, like, you know, like that little Instagram girl. I was like, what?
Right.
And he said that this has nothing to do with what you're eating. But from that moment, he wrote me a prescription to eat some drugs.
Okay. You know, that is such a powerful statement. And I don't want to jump in here, but, you know, And I'm not knocking doctors because they're doing what they were trained to do, but they have no clue most of the time to any type of holistic approach. And the first thing they want to do is prescribe medication, which really only masks the symptoms and doesn't attack the root of the problem. But go ahead. That just really kind of struck me, but go ahead.
So, you know, just having that experience today, I have so many amazing physicians in my network, the people who I work with, I refer people to them. They refer people to me. You know, these are the best and brightest minds in the world. But at the same time, you know, we do what we're taught, you know. And if you take a really smart person and you teach them the wrong thing, they become world class at doing the wrong thing. You know, and our medical system currently is going through a huge makeover right now. It's changing a lot pretty quickly. People still, it's going to be, you know, 10, 20 years out before people see it on a wide scale. But they're phenomenal at emergency medicine. You know, like if I, you know, just throwing it out there, if I was to get, you know, hit by a car or something crazy, right? And my arm is broken. Don't give me some herbs.
Right.
I don't want herbs. You know, like take me in and then have the best and brightest fix this situation. But when it comes to prevention and when it comes to reversal of chronic disease, like the chronic disease that I was diagnosed with and told that this was incurable. There's nothing that you can do about this. Very, very poor. Very, very poor in that situation. And the numbers don't lie. You know, we're looking at a situation now where one in every three individuals right now in the United States is either diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Oh, you're right.
And you look back 30 years ago, just 30 years ago, we're talking about one in 50, right? One in 100 in some circumstances. How could it get that bad, you know, if our medicine is getting better? And the same thing with heart disease or cancer. All these things are on the rise. Obesity, period, is on the rise. Mm-hmm. How do we not understand how to break this situation down? But the truth is we do. There are some sectors of medicine that understand it. And you mentioned it already. It's remove the underlying cause. So fast forward my story. 2.5 years go by. I see multiple physicians. They're all telling me the same story. And at that point, this is when I actually, and I gained 50 pounds, definitely in a state of depression. Mm-hmm. And I don't even like that word, but I was definitely in a state of depression. And this is like my whole life that I had in front of me was just like, it's not happening. I could barely even get around. And in that moment is when I made the decision to get well, which is very important. Everybody listening needs to understand that whenever you, most people are most, they're, it's like wishful thinking, or I hope that this works out. I'm going to try this. When you make a real decision about something, you cut away any other option except having that thing. You know, when you truly decide something, there is no other possibility except that outcome. And most people never really do that. So it's really working those decision-making muscles, you know. And I made the decision to get well. Come what may, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a very analytical person, which you know, you probably know by listening to me on my show. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely about breaking pieces down and understanding the science behind things. So it wasn't just like a miracle happened, you know, the clouds parted and the sun came out and, you know, a little leprechaun jumped out and granted me wishes or anything like that. It was more so I made a decision and then I put a plan together. And that plan entailed three major components. And for me, being an athlete prior to this, and there was much more to the story, but I just give you the condensed version. But me being an athlete, the lowest hanging fruit for me was movement and exercise. This is something that I had foregone. I had sacrificed because the physician said, don't do it. Be careful. You know, what? Here's a very profound truth of that is that the body requires movement in order to heal itself. Okay, the body requires movement in order to heal itself. It's this. It's a very simple principle or premise of if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So if I'm just laying around, why would my body be interested in driving nutrition to regenerate my spine? All right, so that was part one. Part two is right nutrition. And I started to understand and ask questions, you know. So one of the questions that I asked, and the human mind is really wired up to answer questions. You cannot ask a question and not have your brain seek an answer for it. This is why TV shows really get us, because we gotta know what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, like what's gonna happen? So we gotta stick around the next week because our brain is already processing. So I was asking when I was sick and debilitated, I was asking, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why won't anybody help me? Mm-hmm. And your brain is wired up to find and seek information to back up and to affirm and answer that question. So why you? Because you're not taking care of yourself. You're poor in your relationships. You're selfish and self-centered or whatever the things would come up. And I would start to see more of those things in my life, more examples as to why me. So I start to ask questions like, what is it that I need to do to heal? What is it that I need to do to become the person that has always been there, the potential that's within me? And one of the other just direct questions is, what is it that I need to do to heal my spine? What is my spine made of? Mm-hmm. If they say it's deteriorating, well, what do I need to build it back up? And this gets to right nutrition, which is your body requires the raw materials that it needs to rebuild you, right? So I was drinking like Kool-Aid and Sunny D and like Papa John's, eating Chinese food, McDonald's, all this stuff. I wasn't even getting a morsel crossing my lip that could add life to my body. I don't even know how I made it to 20 without having this kind of dramatic breakdown.
Wow.
Okay, so right nutrition. That was the next premise. And the third premise was true rest and recovery, healing. With eating that good food that I shifted over to and the movement that I incorporated again. And by the way, I lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks. And the pain that I'd been experiencing for 2.5 years every single day, I was afraid. I was afraid of this pain. I didn't even want to move.
Okay. Sean, you lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks. And just listening to what you said, do you contribute that primarily to cleaning up your diet and get rid of the sugar and the carbs? And or was there extensive exercise involved with that as well?
No. It was all three of these components. This couldn't have happened without all three parts. It's kind of like a stool. You know, if you got one leg, you're going to fall over. Two, you're going to fall over. Three creates that stability.
Right.
So that other part, the rest and recovery. So as I said, so 30 pounds in 6 weeks, and this is not typical, you know, 30 pounds in 6 weeks. And the pain that I'd been experiencing was totally gone. And I'd gotten my life back, but not back, but something better. And so all the good food that I was eating and the movement, the exercise, your body has to heal. And that the majority of that healing, we'll say upwards of 90 to 99% of that healing takes place while you're asleep. So sleep was critical. That vitamin S is what I call it, to healing. Because prior to me taking action to get well, I was staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games like any college student, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I started to care for myself and to show myself that love and attention that I had never given myself in 22 and a half years prior, I naturally started to go to bed earlier, naturally started to get up earlier because I was excited about living, you know. So all three of those components is what really led to the healing to take place. And so completely reversed the condition. There was no signs of degeneration.
Wow.
The two herniated discs that I had retracted on their own. And the rest is history, you know.
Wow. I'm really hanging on that for a second, that you completely reversed the damage. That's amazing. Because you really hit on something too. And I know that in our pre-chat, we talked about it. And one of the main things I wanted to talk about is how sleep is related to some of the problems that we have. I've got real sleep issues, but before I go into that, you talked about the rise of diabetes in this country, which, you know, like 1 in 3, pretty soon it's going to be 2 out of 3 people that have it. And I do think it's directly related to our food chain. But I know a lot of people are diagnosed now with sleep apnea. Just about half of the people I talk to have gone through the sleep study and they have their little CPAP machines and they need these things to breathe and survive while they're sleeping. Is this related to health as well, do you think?
Again, this is getting to removing the root cause, because a CPAP is treating a symptom, mm-hmm. you know, and oftentimes the vast majority of individuals who are experiencing sleep apnea, which is a chronic sleep issue, which is it's very, very tough. It's a very, very tough thing, but they don't consciously know it. They just know that they don't feel right.
Right.
And basically what's happening with sleep apnea is when you're in a state of sleep. So let's break this down. So there's two stages of sleep. I'm going to make it super simple. There's five if you get into like the super nerdy clinical, but I'm going to make it simple. There's two main phases: REM sleep and non-REM sleep. Okay. And again, there's really five, but we don't got to get into all the geeky stuff right now. Mm-hmm. So REM sleep, that's rapid eye movement sleep. This is when you're getting your dream on, right? This is when your brain is doing something very important. The majority of this process is called memory processing. This is where you're taking your short-term memories and converting them into long-term memories. Mm-hmm. Your brain is phenomenal. It's literally this amazing supercomputer. Just like, I mean, it's, to even say a supercomputer is negligent, because your brain is so much more vast and powerful than that. We just commonly don't know how to tap into it. But anyway, so this process is going on. So this is when you're literally getting smarter, right? And so that's just one of the things going on with REM sleep. But non-REM sleep is the most important state for a human to be in, period. Hmm. This is the most anabolic state that a human can be in their lifetime. And anabolic means building up of growth, healing, recovery, better. And this is happening when you're getting the non-REM sleep. So this is what's known as deep sleep. And so individuals with sleep apnea are commonly getting kicked out of deep sleep more frequently than they should. And oftentimes they're not even really getting into deep sleep because basically it's kind of like a really, really weak person choking you. And it's just like, it's not really like you're not dying, but it's just like it's a nuisance. And so it'll pull you out of sleep. It's like, oh, but you don't wake up consciously. You just kind of, you jump out of the deep sleep and maybe you go into a different phase of sleep. And that keeps on happening. You're not getting that full sleep cycle, which is a sleep cycle is about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Each sleep cycle. And for somebody with sleep apnea, this is like getting interrupted, like sometimes even multiple times within a 1 minute.
Wow. And
it's very, very tough, you know? So, but the big issue here with sleep apnea is oftentimes the person, like I was starting to say, the vast majority are actually overweight, if not in clinical obesity. But this isn't always the case. Outwardly, when you look at somebody, somebody can look relatively fit. I was just talking to my friend, Drew Manning, who this phenomenal process, fit to fat to fit. He was a trainer and he's been fit his whole life. And he didn't understand why his clients were not succeeding when he's just like, just don't do this certain stuff. So he purposely, to find out, put himself in their shoes, he purposely gained 70 pounds in 6 months. And he documented this whole thing. It was a phenomenon. It was on Dr. Oz. It was on Today's Show, all this stuff. But so he gained 70 pounds and he ended up getting sleep apnea. All right. But just after the first 6 weeks to 8 weeks, he gained like 30 pounds already. Maybe he's like 2 months in between 2 and 3 months. And already, so he didn't look like that out of shape. You know, people are like, what's the big deal? But internally, what had happened was his visceral fat increased. So this is organ fat. So even though somebody might look relatively healthy outside, they can have high amounts of visceral fat where they have a fatty liver, or there's excessive fat tissue just surrounding their organs inside of them that's collapsing their breathing pathways. Mm. Okay?
Wow.
So this is the real root cause here. So what we need to do is to eliminate, reduce the visceral fat, mm-hmm. or also it's known as omentum fat. That's where the real work is done. And this is but the whole issue is that it's a vicious circle when it comes to sleep, because if you're not sleeping well, you can't lose the fat. And you can't lose the fat if you're not sleeping well, right? So this is why it has to have a multi-pronged approach. And basically, you have to stack conditions in your favor so that it's impossible to fail. And that's really why I wrote Sleep Smarter and why it's been, you know, a bestseller for almost a year now, which is totally crazy. Mm-hmm. It's because people are starting to attune to the fact that sleep does matter, and it matters in a really big way.
You know, I know that some of the people listening to my show, some of my followers, I know there are a lot of us who share sleep problems. And the reason why I know that is because we're always on Facebook together or Twitter communicating because we can't sleep. And about at least twice a year, I hit an insomnia period. I've gone as much as 32 hours without being able to go to sleep, to the point of where I was shaking and just, you know, in tears because I could not go to sleep.
Yeah.
It gets really bad. I'm one of those people, and I don't know about circadian rhythms or anything like that, but I'm one of those people who I function better at nighttime and I sleep better in the daytime. And I kind of related to maybe an experience I had as a child while I was ripped out of my sleep, in fear. And I don't know if it goes back to that or what, but I just, there's something about me that I don't feel as safe at night as I do during the day. So I sleep better at night, but the rest of the world functions during the day. So I find myself staying up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning where I'm comfortable and get tired around 3 or 4 and then go to bed.
Yeah.
And then I'm up at noon, you know, getting my day started. I'm not sleeping any more than 8 hours, but because the clock is different, you know, my hours are different, but I still feel tired.
Yeah, of course you do. And Carlette, this is where it speaks to the fact that anybody out there who's a coach of some sort, who's really invested in helping another individual, if you listen to them, they'll tell you the cause and cure of what's going on with them. I didn't have to even ask you. You just came out and told me about the situation that happened when you were a child. And we don't need to get into the details, but the bottom line is, why would you even say that? You know, why would that even come up? Well, maybe this was yes, absolutely. And you even brought up the word safety. You said the word yourself. This is definitely an issue because what it's doing is damaging your health today. Like you're still you know, living through this process and hurting yourself because of something that happened when you were a child. And here's the bottom line. I literally wrote the book on sleep, you know, which is just funny to say, and I'm honored to be able to say it, but I dug in and I looked at this historically and, you know, looking at evolutionary biology, this whole concept of somebody being a night owl, this is pretty new invention, mm-hmm. you know, because if we look at thousands of years ago, it was a detrimental thing for you to be awake at night. It was dangerous, you know, because humans, just a little FYI, we don't have good senses in the evening, you know. Right. We've got lights everywhere now, but you get out in a forest and where it's pitch dark, you're going to, you know, like you're more likely to be prey than a predator, okay? Mm-hmm. The lion can see you. You can't see it, right? So we're not really wired up for that. So this is when humans would, through evolutionary biology and look at, you know, anthropology, this is when we would seek shelter. You know, maybe you might have a fire going, but even that might draw attention. So it's like, this is your time for you to sleep. We're not nocturnal creatures, but it's our society. It's the way stuff is been built up. Because even if you look back, you know, several decades ago before technology's become so pervasive in our culture, we didn't have as much sleep apnea and insomnia. I mean, it's just skyrocketed. It's mm-hmm. skyrocketed. And so a big part of this is understanding you are a part of nature. You are a part of nature. Mm-hmm. The entire universe is in a certain sync and a certain order. And our little human self is like, no, I'm not going to, no, not me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it just doesn't work like that. You know, so you can get 8 hours of sleep, but that's not hormonally lined up with the way everything is working with nature. You know, so in the morning, right around when the sun comes up, so this could be right at this time of year, right around 6 o'clock. Naturally, if you were lined up with nature, like you still are, but it's just, you know, it's a little discombobulated right now, but naturally you would have a cortisol spike. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is for the purpose of you getting up and doing activity. Cortisol is not a bad thing. It's gotten a bad name in our world today because it's a stress hormone. If my cortisol is up, but cortisol is very good. It's when it's out of balance is the problem. So you would naturally have a cortisol spike. You don't right now because you're sleeping. You're forcing a melatonin secretion at the wrong time. So you're going to wake up tired automatically just from that. Okay. So, and then in the evening when cortisol is supposed to be rock bottom going down, your cortisol is up in the evening. This, you feel like I'm, right. I'm awake, I'm wired up. Let's go. Let's get some stuff done. But it's a way that you've trained yourself.
I get excited, you know, when it's like when the sun goes down. And you know, just for the I don't mind sharing what happened. I was a child and my mom worked nights. She was a single mom and she was working the night shift. And I was with a babysitter, and my mom later told me she thinks the girl was a little nuts, but she thought somebody was breaking into the house. And she, you know, she said somebody was turning the knob and she woke me up. And, you know, as a kid, I was scared to death. So, I mean, I've grown up just not feeling safe at night. And I even have dogs, you know, and I've had alarm systems, all kinds of stuff yeah. because, you know, I haven't felt safe. And I know that's an issue that I need to talk to probably another professional about.
Yes.
But, so... At nighttime, I get this boost of energy because psychologically, especially after I had children, psychologically, I feel like I have to keep vigilant at night. I have to watch over everybody else while they're sleeping. It's really yeah. kind of weird. And so it's turned my whole system around. So I guess, how do I fix that? How do I, turn that around?
Let me mention a couple of things for everybody to understand how important this is. As far as you mentioned the diabetes again. So just one night of poor sleep is enough to make you as insulin resistant as a type 2 diabetic. Just one night.
Wow.
Okay. So if I was to stay up right now myself, stay up until tomorrow at this time and go get my blood work done, I'm going to look like I'm diabetic or pre-diabetic. And I'm one of the healthiest people I know. You know, it's just because it's a stress condition. And if you perpetuate that, you draw that out, obviously you're going to have some problems. Also, Canadian Medical Association Journal published a study. They took exercisers and put them into two different groups and they had them on the same exact diet. Okay. And they, over the course of the study, same exact diet, same exact exercise. At the end of the study, we had one group with 8 hours plus of sleep a night, and the other group is sleep deprived with less than 6 hours a night. And this could be as little as, you know, 1 to 2 hours. At the end of the study, they found the group who was sleep deprived lost far less weight and far less body fat than the control group. Same exact diet, same exact exercise. Okay. Only difference was sleep, and they lost. Because again, this is when your body really changes. So this is why this matters so much. So how do we fix this? Number one, and again, I would still encourage you to work with somebody on this, but this is a psychological issue. You know, this comes from, you know, you're literally everything that you think about in your mind, you're going to play out in your reality. And right now, you feel, and I don't know, I'm not saying that you know this consciously, but you feel not at home in this universe. Okay. And being asleep is the most vulnerable state that a human can be in, obviously. And this is a situation where if it wasn't needed, we would have evolved out of it. But it's still, it's needed.
Put me out there on Front Street. That is so true.
So this is something that is required, that your genes, that your DNA expects of you. But it's just like, you know, we're rebelling against it because of not feeling safe in this universe. And this boils down to there's a balance there and there's grace that needs to be found with you of understanding that absolutely we want to create a system of safety and structure in our life. We don't want to be stupid. Just like you go to bed, you open the door, you put a record on and just kind of shout it out. Hey, I'm asleep. Come kill me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like some crazy stuff like that, but having your structure set up, but then learning this word trust and faith, really, and living it, you know, as being a spiritual or religious individual, whatever you adhere to, but actually expressing that the universe, the divine is taking care of you. You've got to get to that place because a lot of people talk about this stuff, but they're not really living that or experiencing it and thinking that my little life, I can handle this. I got this. Don't worry about taking care of me or watching over me. I got it. It's a very selfish thing to do, and it puts us in a position where it's just your little power instead of the universal power. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Wow. That's it. That you totally hit on everything. I thought I had prepared for this interview. I knew it was going to be deep and that you were going to totally bring it, but wow, you really hit on some real serious issues with me. So, but that's good because we can only grow and overcome our challenges if we know exactly what they are. And, yes. You know, I'm one of those people, I really do like to try to dig deep introspectively, but you know, sometimes everybody needs a little help and you just kind of really gave me a new perspective. So that's really good. You have helped a lot of people. I was on your Facebook page and I noticed that you just posted about 20 hours ago that you have surpassed 2 million listener downloads. You really are a formidable force. You have a message. How does that affect you and your life?
Wow. Oh my goodness. This is so good. Such good questions. And so, by the way, you know, what we're talking about here is unique. This has never been done before. It's a unique phenomenon. Even you and the questions that you're asking in your personal situation. You know, my book is very science oriented and talking about tips and strategies for improving sleep. But sometimes there's a bigger picture there that needs to get looked at. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about this work and how it affects me is, I don't know if I've shared this before. I might have shared this a time or two, but when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I, as soon as I'm aware that I'm conscious, that I exist, the first thing that I ask is, how can I serve? You know, and I don't sit there and like visualize it or whatever. I just ask the question because again, your brain, your whole being is designed to find the answer to that question, and through the day, I will find ways that I'm here to be of service, you know? And the first thing though is being of service to you because you matter and how you're showing up for everybody in their life matters, you know, because your kids don't want the worn down, tired version of you. They want the best of you,
right?
You know, but they might not even know it, but when they get it, they'll know it. So, you know, being of service to yourself so that you can be of better service to others. So I asked that question and So I'm living my life from that place, and it affects me in a way that, like, this is my life. I don't even think it's, there is no separation between what I have to do and what I want to do, you know? There, of course, there's some days it's just like, I'd rather not do this or that, but for the most part, it's really kind of integrated in my life, and I'm so driven to help and impact other people. Like, it just, I guess the bottom line to answer your question is, it affects me in a very positively powerful way, because it just motivates me to keep going, you know, if I could just say that.
You know, I was part of my career, I was a corporate trainer, and we have a program called Train the Trainer. It's where we would go in and we would teach other trainers how to train their employees. I've asked this of life coaches before. Who coaches the coach?
It's so funny. This is real. This actually happened. It was either Monday or Friday last week, within that time span. And this is Thursday now for us. But I wore a shirt that a client gave me like 3 years ago. It's been sitting in my closet because I was like, this is pretty blatant and bold. But it says, I train your trainer. Mm-hmm. On the shirt. And it's a funny thing. So I wore it, and I wore it all day, and I wore it to the gym. And people were coming up and asking me, where did I get the shirt? People don't ever do that. one of the trainers there, he's an older guy, phenomenal trainer. And he came up, he's like, I got to have that shirt, man. I love that shirt. Where'd you get the shirt? And so so that's a little sidebar, but every good coach or good trainer, good mentor, good corner man, as I was just working with this guy, Dr. Jeff Spencer, who was the team physician for all the U.S. Tour de France victories a few years back. He was an Olympian himself in sprint cycling. He's worked with all these different Olympic athletes and celebrities like, you know, Bono, and just all this amazing stuff that he's done in his lifetime. And he calls himself the corner man. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, the coaching and mentoring is incredibly important. But having a corner man in your life, somebody who looks at the bigger picture, because a coach is generally working with the subject matter at hand, mm-hmm. not your life.
Right.
You know, so the corner man is something really, really important. And so he's kind of that for me. You know, like, I invest time and energy and money to go out to L.A. I live in the Midwest, to spend time at his event, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm in the room with all these other, like, it's just so crazy. You know, like, it was like Elton John's chiropractor was there, Usher's personal trainer, Olympic champions, and me, you know? So I'm soaking all this stuff up, because one of the driving forces of myself, and I welcome anybody to have the same thing, is growth, you know? Even just a little bit better, a half of a percent better every single day, you know? And so getting out, because a lot of people look to me to be that person of kind of their coach, their mentor, their corner man. They learn from me, mm-hmm. you know, like thousands of people out there, which I greatly appreciate that, and I don't take it lightly. At the same time, I have to come face to face with understanding that I will never know it all. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that, because you lose. You start to fail rapidly once you think you figured it out. That's a huge mistake mm-hmm. in this human experience. But I think
I've seen it happen too. The minute somebody thinks they know it all, the universe has a way of, you know, slapping them backwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And so for me, every day it's kind of it's a thrust for me to find a way to immerse myself in something outside of my paradigm, you know, to keep stretching myself, and especially, you know, podcasting and these radio shows is an incredibly powerful format mm-hmm. and medium for people to tune in and change the way you're thinking and grow yourself. But there's nothing more powerful than actually physically getting yourself in the environment of greatness.
Okay, so we've talked about, you know, the things that precede, I'm just going to say, I don't want to say bad health, but I want to say maybe situations and issues that have gotten us to the place where we are. We just talked about where we are. So how do we move past it? Because I'm a type chick that, you know, I like to say voluptuous, but you know, I've never been skinny. Okay. Let me just say, I've never been skinny. I at one point probably had clothes in my closet from 9 to 18, and given any time I could fit something in my closet. Of course, at my age now, you know, after I've had two kids, it's a little hard to keep it off. And because, well, let me just tell you, and I don't mind putting myself out there, because I really feel like that's the only way sometimes to help people. So in 1 year, in 2007, well, I had my first daughter at 30, my second daughter at 40. And in 2007, I had a partial hysterectomy. I had a goiter on my thyroid and had to have that removed, and in the same year. And I was on medication that I think, because now I have to take Synthroid for the rest of my life. And I just took medication that really ballooned me up. I gained like 50 pounds. It was outrageous. And so now I'm working on taking it off. Mm-hmm. And it's a slow process, but I mean, it is coming off. And then I got the bright idea that I would go out and buy one of those Sean T videos, the T Focus. You know, I've never exercised in my life, I'm going to tell you the truth. But I decided to go out and get and it was working, but I injured my knee. So now I have a blown out knee, and I've got this weight on me, and I've got these sleep issues. And what do I do, Sean? How do I fix this mess?
Yeah. So just quick question, and just give me a quick answer. How did you hurt your knee?
Well, I was a disco queen. So I grew up in the disco era. So like years and years of dancing in stiletto heels and club partying really kind of wreaked havoc on my knees. And I had arthritis in my knees and didn't realize it. And in doing the squats and lunges, apparently I did some damage, because I've been to an ortho now and he says, yeah, you don't squat, don't lunge.
Yeah. So and again, you know, this is a situation where,
And let me just add that I was really getting into the exercise. I was doing my 25-minute workout every day, and I was seeing results. I was doing really well. I was feeling good, and I was losing the weight, and then the knee thing. And so now what do I do?
It's always going to be something, though.
Right.
You got, because you were getting at the border of your paradigm, right? Something's going to bring you back and snatch you back. It's not necessarily to say that this isn't the way, but to make you question things, you know, and to affirm your dedication. Because at this, and I just got to say this really quick sidebar, the physician saying don't squat and don't lunge, those are two basic human movements that you need to be doing. You just need to do it smart. Because if you don't squat and you don't lunge, you're never going to be able to squat and lunge. And you need to squat just to get up and sit down.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. So, I wanted to squat because I had lost that mobility, and I wanted to be able to do it again.
Yeah. But it's how you're doing it. And to go from zero to Sean T is not appropriate. That's not appropriate. And this is the thing. This is what we all do. It's just the marketing. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful program. I know some of those people. They're phenomenal human beings, and they're doing some great work. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you have to understand where you are. And to be marketing to people who are just at home and they're watching the infomercial, I'm going to do that. And you just gave your story, two children, a little bit later in life, hysterectomy, partial hysterectomy.
Yep.
Basically, your thyroid's been damaged or completely removed.
Right.
We might want to do something a little bit different here than to just go exercise, kicking your own butt, demolishing your butt for 6 days in a row, or whatever the case might be. That's probably not the best idea for you, because number one, here's what's going on, bottom line. And this is where the real change is happening, either for the good or the not so good. Everything that's happened with your body, the physical appearance, the physical changes, is based on what your hormones are doing. Okay, all the stuff you said, even ballooning up and being on the Synthroid and thyroid, all this stuff, we're talking about your hormones. Your thyroid is producing some of the most important. Your thyroid is generally known as the master regulator of your metabolism. What? and you don't even really have one, or it's damaged? We got a problem. But the question again is getting to, how did this happen in the first place? And it's not the in our medical paradigm is like the thyroid is doing this thing. The problem is the thyroid. We need to go attack the thyroid, not understanding that you're a whole person, you know, and there's something probably downstream that caused the problem upstream or vice versa. Mm-hmm. All right. So partial hysterectomy, of course, I know at the time you probably like this is the only option. But again, we get into a situation where you're seriously playing with your female hormones. Mm-hmm. You start messing around with your reproductive organs. And that puts a woman in a very unpowerful position. I'll put it like that. Not impossible, because I can't leave you with this impossibility, because you've already seen things can change. Mm-hmm. But you got to do so much right that it's ridiculous, right? You got to stack everything in your favor so that it's impossible to fail, like I mentioned earlier. So that's what was really going on. So your estrogen, your progesterone, your estrone, all these hormones are going to start to get off balance. Cortisol is going to be off balance. You're already not sleeping right. All this, you got this basic like a hormonal alphabet soup, and it's like all over the place. You're not getting any words coming out of that stuff. It's like abaca, you know, it's like you don't even know what it's saying. And so what we have to do for you to move past this is, and crazy thing, this is a funny thing, you have to be more gentle with yourself than aggressive with yourself. And so you went aggressive.
And
life was like, nah, pulled you, you know, kind of pulled you back. And as a reality check, this is not appropriate for you. What it boils down to is in a situation like yours, right here, right now, is consistency with being gentle with yourself. And that doesn't mean I'm so gentle that I'm laying on the couch every day, every moment of the day. It's not that. It's smart exercise, you know, plenty of walking. Some body weight stuff a couple times a week, not every day. You know, finding a way to do some heavier lifts for certain things that you can do. Maybe you learn how to do, since you can't squat or lunge right now, which is not true. You just need to learn how to do it the right way. And but that's another subject. And I've done shows. One of my shows was with Dr. Kelly Starrett. So just if you go to my website, themodelhealthshow.com, type in Kelly Starrett. Or just type in Kelly into the search bar. Listen to that show. Follow his instruction for squats. Like go to his YouTube channel and that kind of thing.
Perfect.
And you'll figure that stuff out. But deadlifting, it would be phenomenal because that's going to give you a positive anabolic hormone secretion. Okay, so I said anabolic earlier. So anabolic is building up, development. And this is development of muscle. And muscle burns fat. Muscle is your body's fat-burning machinery. Mm-hmm. Okay. Muscle doesn't change to fat. Fat doesn't change to muscle. That's just not possible. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. But these are like kind of ignorant things that we would say. And I said this when I was going through college and learning from the professors and trainers. And they would say things like that. And you just buy it. Okay, well, I don't want all this fat I have to get turned into muscle, you know, and these kind of crazy things that we have in our mind. And that's just not how the body works, you know. So you want to definitely build a little bit of muscle so your body, your metabolic process, your metabolic potential goes way up. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help to be an insurance thing or a right-hand man or a support for that lack of thyroid function. So more than anybody, you need to work on building muscle. And you're not necessarily building a lot of muscle by jumping up and down and doing, you know, Superman banana or whatever it is on these different videos, right? That's not what that's geared towards.
Okay.
Right? So you have to change the way that you're exercising, lots of walking, but the real game, and again, we do a whole show on this, but I'll just put it right here, right now. The real game is going to be in hormone healthy nutrition and sleep.
Wow.
That's your secret sauce.
Wow. Well, you have really smacked me down today. Wow. I have a lot. I have a lot to chew on, and well, no pun intended. I have a lot to think about, and I know that you have helped me. I know that for a fact right now. So let's let other people know how you can help them directly and talk about your social media. I know that you are on Facebook. That is actually, I just had it here in front of me, the Sean Model. The Sean Model on Facebook. Go find him, follow him, like him, sign up for his email newsletter. I'm telling you, there's so much information just in the newsletter, and that's absolutely free. It comes right to your email, and he personalizes it. Sean always tells a story or relates it to something that you can relate to. So the Sean Model on Facebook. And on Twitter, you are Sean Model, right?
That's right. S-H-A-W-N Model. Yep.
Now, let's talk about your book. The last thing that we talk about right now is your book. Tell us the title and where it's available.
Sure. Sure thing. And by the way, I hope that I'm smacking you down in order to lift you up.
Absolutely.
To say that.
I'm pumped up now.
And so with Sleep Smarter, so it's, well, again, privileged to be able to say it's been a number one bestseller for almost a year now. And people are really getting the memo that, well, first of all, we got to make sleep sexy because it's not a sexy topic, you know, as far as sleep versus insanity. You know, it's just like, insanity looks so much cooler. Sleep, you don't do anything. So people are really catching on to the fact that the sleep matters. So it's Sleep Smarter. You can pick it up at sleepsmarterbook.com or just go over to Amazon. You can pick it up there in a traditional paperback or on Kindle. And also, so I'm pretty new to the game in social. I was late to the game, but everything is growing really rapidly there. Mm-hmm. But the big place that I play, the big medium that I'm sharing and connecting with people, you know, we have several hundred thousand downloads every single month, is the Model Health Show. So people can check me out on iTunes or Stitcher. Wow. Or you can just listen on the website, themodelhealthshow.com. So just check me out, The Model Health Show, and I promise to provide some of the most life-changing, empowering content ever, hands down.
Wow. He is Sean Stevenson, and I'm also on his Facebook page. I see that there's a website, thessmodel.com and thesseanstevensonmodel.com. Even though this show is pre-recorded, when we go live later on this evening, I will be putting these links in the chat room so you'll be able to click and follow. It's a must. It's not even an option. You must follow him because his message is so clear and it's so powerful and it's so helpful. So Sean, I'm really excited that, you know, I had you on the show. Thank you for working me into your hectic schedule. I hope that you won't be a stranger to Let's Chat and maybe we'll be able to come back and visit me again. We will be following you on Facebook and all the other social media. And from the bottom of my heart, I do really wish you the absolute best because your message is so powerful and it's so important. That's the thing. It's important. People don't understand that sleep really has a lot to do with everything else that's going on with us.
Awesome. I receive that. Thank you so much.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this ends this segment, but hang on. I'll be going live right after this and we'll be taking your questions in the call in. So, Sean, thanks very much. Okay, so...